So welcome to this session of Web Content Management in SharePoint 2010. My name is Donald Hessing, and I work for VX Company in the Netherlands, which is a mid-sized IT company. I do mainly custom implementations on SharePoint, and we started with 2010 as well. I am one of the few Microsoft certified masters in SharePoint 2007 now, and I am a speaker and author as well. I have a strong .NET background, so previously when I did SharePoint, I was a .NET architect as well. So my interests are still in service-oriented architecture and Silverlight as well. So if you have any questions about implementing Silverlight in SharePoint, feel free to come to the Ask the Expert sessions after this session. So on the agenda for this session, I will start with a brief overview of what is web content management in the first place. And after that, we will talk about how to define the structure, what will be on the page, how can we design the layout of the page, and how can we make it a consistent branding. After that, I will talk a little bit about the tooling that are now available in SharePoint 2010. So think about SharePoint Designer, Visual Studio 2010, and things like that. And we talk about how to get the content and how to roll up the content which exists in several places inside your SharePoint site. So the improvements of the content query web part. And after that, some improvements that are made by controlled publishing and the enhancements that are made in the SharePoint platform and how WCM takes advantage of that. So let's start with a brief overview of what web content management is in the first place. So and let me try to explain that with the letters A, B, and C, which stands for authoring, branding, and controlled publishing. So with authoring, we basically mean the experience that you give to the author as a site designer. So in a small organization, you probably come away with a smart guy which have a lot of knowledge of HTML, and you ask him, can you create a new page because SharePoint Connections has a new keynote speaker. So this guy creates a new HTML page, and, well, he asks the system administrator, can you put that online at 10 o'clock this evening? So the system administrator goes at home, logs into the system, copies the file to the virtual directory, and the HTML page is online. So for smaller organizations, you probably want to have a toolkit in which the editor doesn't need to have knowledge of HTML, and in a way that he can decide when to put the page live. So that is what we mean by authoring and controlled publishing. With branding, we want to make sure that the page has a consistent branding as well. So every page should look the same. And we want to do that in a way that the editor doesn't have to be a HTML expert as well. So when we think about web content management, most people think about public-facing websites. And this is an example of that, of the Dutch Police Academy, which we created. But the public features are not related to public-facing websites only. So this is an example of the MSW internet site. So you can use the public features as well, the publishing features as well for internet sites. So think about roll-up of news items, things like that. And then we have this new enterprise wiki site definition in which you can have a lightly branded way of doing publishing as well. And we talk about this concept later in this session. So there are many shades of WCM now. On one end, we have this highly structured, highly controlled published websites in which you probably have a designer which created the design. You have a strong publishing scenario in which you want to make sure that each site has to be approved before it's go live. And you probably have some governance rules about the content that you publish. And on the other hand, you have this enterprise wiki scenario which has no approval at all. It's lightweight. You have many authors, so everybody can contribute to that page. And in general, it's lightly branded. So everything in between can be a mix of gradations of them. So you can either mix high branded or light approval. And none of those features are exclusive to each other. So whatever you create an intranet site or a community site with Enterprise Wiki, you can decide what type of level of branding you want, what type of level of altering constraints, and what type of governance rules apply to that. So when we think about a consistent branding, we start with a master page. And with a master page, you can basically create a generic view of your page. So what's on that master page? In general, we have things like logos, navigation, search box, login control, CSS references, and you can add additional server controls to that as well. And because of the master page is basically a ASP.NET concept, so you can just get Visual Studio and create your own controls and add these controls to the master page as well. And probably you all have seen the new Ribbon UI, and that's a set of controls and JavaScripts and style sheets that are added to the master page as well. So if you are in a migration scenario, so you come from 2007, you want to migrate to 2010, you have to add this Ribbon UI to your master page in order to get the Ribbon functionality. So there are migration scenarios there. The master page is stored in the master page gallery, which is a specialized document library in the root of the site collection. And for ASP.NET developers, it might be good to know that the master page can have a code behind file as well. So you can create additional code there if you want. So if you want to create a master page, you start by creating the master page in SharePoint Designer. So we have SharePoint Designer 2010 now, but it basically is the same as in 2007. There is no support in Visual Studio for creating or for having a designer experience right now. There might be extensions coming who have that, but at this time you have to do it with SharePoint Designer. So the master page contains several placeholders, and SharePoint needs these placeholders in order to find specific controls on the page. So think about the site actions menu, the title, placeholders, things like that. And it is a best practice to start with a minimal master page. And why is that? Well, you can see this is a wireframe of the complete master page, so it contains a lot of placeholders. And for publishing scenarios, you don't need all those placeholders. So, yeah. Basically, you just want to delete these placeholders, which you don't need, but you cannot delete them, because during rendering time, SharePoint needs these placeholders. So during rendering time, SharePoint will find these placeholders, and if it can find them, it will throw an exception. So the idea behind the minimal master page is basically to add a ASP.NET control, make it hidden, and place your placeholders that you don't need inside this hidden server control. So that during rendering time, SharePoint can find these placeholders, but because it's hidden, the output of the HTML is not sent to the client. And this makes the page load for the client even smaller. So before we can define the layout of the page, we have to define what content is on that page. And we can do that by using the content type. So the content type basically describes the content of the page. And beside the content, it also defines what metadata we want to define for that page. For publishing scenarios, you should derive your content type from page. So the content type of page is a pre-built content type, which is in SharePoint automatically when you activate the publishing features. And by deriving from the content type of page, you basically get the minimal infrastructure that you need for publishing scenarios. So think about the publishing start date, publishing end date, things we need for controlled publishing in order to put our page live on a certain date and time. That are things you get when you derive from your content type of page. The content type itself, there you define the fields. So for instance, you have a content type for a news article or for product information or for a conference session. You'll define your fields like the title and the content, what speaker, what product, things like that. So when we define the content we want to store on a page, we can start by designing the page layout. And the page layout is basically a template for rendering, and it's always based on a content type. So because it's based on a content type, you can basically use SharePoint Designer and drag and drop the fields that you defined on your content type into the page layout. So that way, you can basically, as a site designer, decide what can be altered and what cannot. Beside the field controls, you can add additional web parts to that. So that gives the author even more flexibility in what he can and can't do. And keep in mind that the page layout as well should be designed in SharePoint Designer if you want some kind of designer experience there. So there is no Visual Studio Designer available right now. So how does SharePoint know which controls to render if you only drag and drop these fields to the page layout? Well, for every field you have defined in your content type, there is basically an associated field control for that. So if we have defined in our content type a title, that's probably of type single line of text, and there is an associated field control for single line of text, so that ASP.NET knows which control to render for what type of field. So there's a single line of text for maybe, so there's a text control for a single line of text, there's an image control for something like an image, and you see a video on the screen. So for video field control, it has two controls. So in edit experience, you see a preview of the image, and during a live preview, you basically have the availability of a Silverlight video player there. So field controls basically provide control over structure and branding. So you as a site designer can decide which fields can be ordered. And beside that, each field control can have restricted options there as well. So think about the rich text editor, where you can basically format your text. So you can use bold, italic, and change the font size and things like that. But if you want to have a consistent look and feel, you might consider to use predefined styles, so in order to comply your consistent style. So you as a site designer can decide that the author only can use predefined styles. So you can create, for instance, a style for H1 and H2 and H3, so HTML markups there. So there has been a lot of effort by the team of creating of rebuilding actually the field controls. So there were some complaints about the field controls there because they used a lot of tables, and designers don't like tables for layout. So what they did basically is they rebuilt it with div kind of structures, so that's more XHTML compliant right now. I see a question there. Yes and no, and it's sorry. The question is it compliant to web accessibility as well? And the answer to that is yes and no. It depends on how you create your site. So there has been a lot of effort in that, but if you mess up in your design, it's it's kind of not accessible. So there are some things still. So, for instance, one of the new things were that for the web part zones, it rendered a table construction, and it's still that because it's just ASP.NET where it relies on. So, I see another question there. Sorry, can you repeat that question? Yeah, it's on the field control itself. So the restrictions are on the field. So the question was, can you restrict the options that the author has for a control? So, and the answer to that question is basically the restriction is made on a control. So if you drag and drop the field of your content type on the page layout, there you can make that restriction. So it's for every page that is based on that page layout, applies to that restriction. Okay. So beside field controls, we have the availability of this thing like web parts. And, well, like Mike Fitzmaurice noted out, that web parts are actually coming from the access team. So that's kind of funny. I didn't know that. But web parts are basically a way to give the author more flexibility of editing the page. So the field controls are very restricted, and the web parts can make additional flexibility to that. And if you use web parts, there are basically two options there. You can either use add a web part to the page layout and configure it in the way you want, so that the author who creates a page based on that page layout has always that web part available and pre-configured. The other option is if you want to give the editor even more flexibility, you can add a web part zone to that page layout. And by adding the zone to a page layout, you basically say that the editor can add every web part he wants. So if he has a favorite web part, he can add basically that web part to the page layout. This is probably not a good idea for public-facing scenarios where you want a consistent look and feel. So you don't want to give the author that flexibility. But for a community site, it probably doesn't matter. And so you want to have a broad adoption of that. So you can add that zone to that page layout there. So keep in mind that if you add a web part zone, the editing experience is only for an instance of that page. Yeah. So if you add a web part to a page layout, that counts for every instance of the page that's applied to that page layout. Sorry, I see some questions, and I'm running a little bit out of time, so I'll come back to you. Okay. So let me show you a little bit of the authoring experience we have now for scenarios where we have a high control branding, where we want restricted rich media sources. So we want restrictions on what can be altered within a rich text field control, and where we have corporate taxonomies. So let me introduce you to a company named Contoso. And Contoso is a specialist in electronics. So they created a public-facing website. And on this public-facing website, they... Oops. So on this public-facing website, they have basically two parts. One part is the corporate information, so they want to promote their products. And on the other part, they have this community site, where the community can basically contribute and add their knowledge about specific products to that. So this demonstration is less about an online shop and more about a showcase of basically having corporate information and combine that with community site. So let me show you Contoso website. So what we have is a menu control, which basically rolls up every site and shows and redirects to the default page of each site. And that's the way how the publishing navigation provider works. We see highly branded images just here. So they're probably professionally created. We see a content query web part, which rolls up several product information that are targeted as featured. So that's meta information there. We have a blog, an about section, which tells something about Contoso. And we have the Contoso team over here. This is a reusable content, WebArt, which was also available in 2007. And this is just a rich text editor with some people and some interesting information there. We have a nice blog site here with some blog posts. And you can see here some comments and pictures, things like that. We have this community site, and I will show you that in more detail in the next demo. But it just basically shows you the wikis, some featured products, things like that. And finally, we have the products site. And this is the landing page of the products. And we see here a nice Silverlight player, media player, which shows a video. We see, again, several subsites, and each subsite has its own category. So we have subsites for computers, cell phones, cameras, and camcorders. And on the bottom, we see several content query web arts again. So this time, the top-rated products, the featured products, and several wiki pages that are related to those products. And finally, we see some product data sheets as well. So let's go to cameras and camcorders, which is basically a subsite of products. And once again, we see the landing page of this category, which this time, again, the featured products, but this time filtered on the specific category of cameras and camcorders. And also the product data sheets and cameras with an additional filter. So I want to show you how to create a new page in 2010. So we go to site actions, and we say new page. And notice that we only see a dialog box with the name of the page, so we don't have to fill out things like 10 fields of data here for just creating a new page. So I want to create a new product for the product called M300, which is a new digital camera. And we see here a page layout, and this is not a page layout for the product, that's by purpose, because I want to show you that you can now, by using the ribbon, change the page layout on the fly. So these are the page layouts that are available, and there is a page layout for the product page, which I now can select, and SharePoint automatically reapplies that page layout. So now you see the new page layout of the product. So we see several fields here. We have the title field. We have a rich text editor for adding content here. We have a media field here as well. We have added a web art on the page layout for related wikis, for product data sheets. And in the gray area, we see metadata fields for adding the metadata to our page. And we use this metadata to roll up content on the landing page. So we use the content query web art in combination of the metadata fields. So notice that when I change on each field, the ribbon is also changing. So there's a contextual ribbon here. If I have a rich text field, it comes with the formatting options that are available for that field. When I go to the rich media field, it changes the ribbon as well, where I can change the media for that. So add some text here. I have the product description for the M300 over here. So I just copy that and go back to my website. And I use the paste options. Just paste it. So I want to add a header. So I add the latest innovation. And notice that when I go to format text, I don't have the availability to use the formatted text options. So I cannot decide, I cannot apply a different style, I cannot use the bold, italic, and things like that. So the site designer decided to don't give me that options. So he restricted that on the rich field, on the rich text editor. So I should use the predefined markup styles. And they added here the predefined markup styles for Contoso. And when I hover over a predefined style, it automatically shows you the result for that. So I select Contoso Heading 1. And by using Contoso Heading 1, the site designer applies the right HTML tag for that. So this way, the site designer basically can say that by using this tag, it is a semantic, the right semantic HTML is created. So I have this HTML here. I want to use testimonials for H2, Contoso Heading 2. And, well, there are several options here for the editor, so I can convert to the right XHTML. So if I copy and paste the wrong XHTML, it basically converts to the right XHTML. I have the HTML source editor as well. And now I want to select a video, so I go to Change Media, and I have here my digital asset library, which is a new library in SharePoint 2010 where you can store your digital assets. So these can be either audio, video, or images. And I have my product taxonomy here. So I can select from audio and cameras and camcorders and things like that. So if I go to down to digital cameras, I have all my products which are related of digital camera. And finally, I find my M300 here. So I can play already my video here in line. So it renders automatically a Silverlight player. I can show the properties as well. Keep in mind that if you upload a video, you have to set a preview image URL as well. So only uploading a video is not enough. You need to predefine a preview image as well. So I select this one. Press OK. And the media player just shows you the preview image URL. And I press play, it automatically plays the video as well. But I'm not good to go right now because I don't like this black area here. So I can change the style from dark or either light. So I choose light and I have a different style of my media player. If you want to create, I'll come back to you. Sorry. If you want to create a different style, you just can use Expression Blend for that and upload a new style, and the style will be available here as well. So now I want to apply the right meta information. So I need to select a product. So I go once again to my metadata store. I go to cameras and camcorders. I select the digital camera. And I select my M300 Azure here. Select OK. I have also a promotion area. So I select corporate promotions. And we're in Europe. So that's OK. So you can also do things like inline. So it gives you suggestions on what you type. So we're in Holland, so I select Holland. And finally, you can add some keywords here. So I press. And then we have these two checkboxes. And they added this metadata information for featured on the homepage and featured in category, just in order to let the content creator web part roll up this information as well. So if you select this one, you can create your content creator web part query for that, so it rolls up only featured products. And finally, I have a roll-up image because my content creator web parts needs an image as well. And notice that for the field control of an image type, there isn't the ability to automatically upload that image to your library. So where we have for video, we can automatically upload the video and select a library so that you have some kind of one-click experience for selecting the video and uploading in once. That isn't available yet for images, so you either have to manually upload your image and then select it afterwards. So there is already an image available for the M300. So I go to products, cameras, digital camera. And I'll select this one. Okay. I'll leave it with the defaults. That's not for good for accessibility, I know. But for demo, it's fine. Okay, so I think we're good to go. So now I can basically select publish. So I'll select publish here. And it automatically does a spelling check control. So it sees that I have 7 errors here, and I have 2 draft items as well. I can correct my spell errors here. So I can choose, for instance, the right way of writing super shot. So I leave it with this. I select publish, select continue. So now it says that I have to correct my markup. So by copy pasting from Word, there came some markup with it which was not XHTML compliant. So the rich text editor can correct me. So when I say autocorrect, I can now publish. I can continue. And I'm fine. So notice that the related wikis, Content Query Repart automatically rolls up the related wikis based on the product metadata I added to this page. When I go to cameras and camcorders, my M300 is here as well because I selected as a featured product. So the Content Query Repart selected that field. Okay. So what do you have seen? You saw some of the rich authoring experience you have in SharePoint 2010 in public-facing scenarios. There have been a lot of work in standards and accessibility. So SharePoint Designer can help you with that. The rich text editor can help you with that. And if you publish, it does some checks for that as well. We saw some managed metadata. So the taxonomy and things like that are available for publishing pages and enterprise wikis as well. We saw the asset library where we can store digital assets, things like videos and audio, things like that. And we saw the digital media player. So this is just a short preview of what you can do with streaming video. I do another session at 1:30. Where we talk about the sharing of digital assets in SharePoint 2010. So the improvements made there to basically, well, create your own YouTube server. And we will discuss if that's a good idea or not in SharePoint 2010. But there have been a lot of improvements there. So think about bitrate throttling, streaming server, streaming from the cache, and things like that. So let's move on. We've seen this more structured approach, and I want to show you the more unstructured approach of the Enterprise Wiki in SharePoint 2010. So let's go back to the site. We have this community section, which is based off an Enterprise Wiki template in SharePoint 2010. And I want to show you this wiki linking. So I can inline link, so for instance C, and it shows me the wiki pages that are available in my pages library. So I can say taking pictures of day and night. But I can also create a link to a non-existing page. So I can say things like shutter speed. When I save this page, notice that there is no publishing, so there's no approval here. And I can select this link, of course, and I go to the related wiki page. But notice that the shutter speed, when I select the shutter speed, it asks me to create a page. So I can inline create a wiki linking to a non-existing page, and when it doesn't exist, it asks me to create one. So it creates one based on the page layout defined for the enterprise wiki. And it only contains a rich text field control. So in this rich text field control, I can do things like editing text. And notice that the site designer decided to give me the flexibility of to choose my own fonts, to choose my own font style. I can things like insert a picture, or I can insert a web art as well. So you can now insert web arts in a rich text field control. So there hasn't to be a web art zone. You can basically add a web art to a rich text editor field control. So I have some content for this wiki page here. And let me select that. And copy that to my field. Okay. So I want to create a header again. And now I can use this predefined. I can create my own font sizes. So let me make it 18, make it bold. So I can do things like that. But I don't want this one as a title. I want something like shutter speed as a title. Make it 18. So I can add pictures here as well. So I go to insert, go to picture. And here I can say from a computer, from an address, or from SharePoint. So in a rich field control, you have the availability to, say, in one click upload an image to a document library. Notice when I say from computer, it comes with the library where you want to automatically upload that image. But these are just the images of this site. So it's site scoped. You cannot upload an image to, for instance, a document library on the root site. So that's a limitation for now. So let me upload an image from my computer. And I go to browse. And I have here an image. And if I go to the properties, this image already has some metadata attached to that. So you can either use Windows 7 or your own image application. And it has these tags like light, exposure, and M300 here. So if I select this image, SharePoint will automatically get that metadata and adds that to my managed keywords here. So I have the same metadata here available now when I select this image. So I choose M300 as a title and press save. So this is my image. I can make it a little bit bigger. I can use the position to left and right. So make sure that looks a little bit decent. Okay. So I can choose the. So for this wiki page, I also added metadata, and I think that's good in order to roll up information. So I select product wiki as a category. And for the product, I'll select my M300 product as well. And they've added two additional content query web parts. So if I say save now, there is no publishing or controlled workflows here. So I press save. And because I selected the product here as well, it shows up with the related wikis automatically. Okay. So if I go to the community homepage, I go, for instance, to my product. I have now my related wiki here as well, which I added, because they're all tied to the same product's metadata information. So with that, quick review of what we've seen on the Enterprise Wiki. So the Enterprise Wiki is a new site definition in SharePoint 2010, which is a lightweight, controlled of lightweight publishing site, actually. There are fewer clicks involved of creating that page. The user has more control of what is on that page. If you notice, there was this rating control where you can rate your wikis as well. So how can you create your page layout and master pages, and what tools are available now in SharePoint 2010? So you all probably are familiar with SharePoint Designer, and there is a new version for that. That's SharePoint Designer 2010. It's basically the tool for creating your master pages and page layouts, and you can also create your content types and site columns there as well if you want. And on the other end, we have the tool for the developers, which is Visual Studio 2010, which added some nice extensibilities there for creating your assets and deploying that to any kind of server you want. So that's good for staging environments and testing environments, and then go over to production. It has templates for master pages, but there is no designer for that. There isn't a specific module right now for a page layout, but you can just use the generic module there if you want. There is also no designer for a page layout in Visual Studio right now. There is a template for defining your content types. So it asks you, if you create a content type, it asks you from which content type you want to derive automatically. And it will automatically package and deploy your solution to a server you provide. So you have like this F5 debug and attach functionality, things like that. Look for extensions here. They created a nice extensible framework for you, and there are people here in the room I've seen, like Waldeck and Wouter van Vught, who created extensions for this. So there are extensions right now available, for instance, for creating a page layout in Visual Studio. So there is no designer yet, but you can, for instance, select a content type, and it will automatically create a page layout for you and edit all those fields of that content type to your page layout as well. There are several extensions right now, and I talked to Wouter van Vught before, and they are combining all these features in one package right now. So I expect that in a couple of weeks there is a new CodePlex solution with all extensions in one. So they merge these, and I think that's a great way for us as a developer to create easily our page layouts and master pages. So for now, I will show you how to do it with the tools we have at this time. So we go to our image again. First, I have to create my page layout, and I want to use the designer for that, so I use SharePoint Designer. notice that you have here the master page and page layout. But the page layouts and the master page are just stored in the same master page gallery. It's just a different view for that. So I go to page layouts, and I just select the button new page layout. And it asks me, basically, what content type do you want to use? So for this scenario, I just want to use the article page as a base type. So I use, for instance, demo article page here. I could lay out as well. So copy that to the title, press OK. So it creates just the basic blank page layout for me. Okay, there we go. So here we have the content placeholder main. And this is where we put our placeholders, our field controls. So on the right-hand side, you see the fields that are coming from my associated content type. So I can add things like the title in here. So, and I can add, for instance, the page content here as well. So notice that for each field, it will use a different control here. So it uses a text field control for the single line of text, and it uses the rich HTML field control for, well, rich text. So I have this designer experience because there's an associated master page here. It has some problems with rendering the UI version, but that's okay. It gives you an idea how it should work. So now I want to package this in Visual Studio so I can publish this to my test and then acceptation, staging, or production environment. So I create a new solution here, say a new project, and I start with an empty SharePoint project. So I call it Page Layouts Demo. Press OK. So it asks me whatever, which sites to use when I press F5 and attach my debugger, and which sites to deploy it. I use the sandbox solution for this, so I press OK. So now I need to add a new module. So I add a new item here. And I say module, and I call it master page. And why do I call it master page and not page layout? Well, I want to publish my page layout to the master page gallery. So that's what I do here. So I say add. So I have this master page here. It adds a sample text file automatically. But what I can do is I can delete this line, but I can also delete just simply this file. And SharePoint will automatically update this file. So here. Yeah. So I want to publish it to the URL of the _ catalogs / master page. Go away. So, and now I need to add my page layout. So I add a new item. So I have several templates available here, but there isn't a template available for a page layout right now. So I just use generic, and I go to text file, and I say page layout demo conference.hpx, and I say add. So what I now can do is just basically copy the code that I created in SharePoint Designer and copy that to my page layout here. Select paste. So now I need to associate my page layout with the content type, and I do that in the module. So within the file section, I need to add some properties so that it knows which content type to use. And to speed up things a little bit, I have a little cheat here. So you need to add these properties here. So it says the title of the feature, it says the content type and the associated content type here as well. Okay, so there's one thing I need to do right now, because this project doesn't use a DLL, it's just a page layout. I can say to this project that it doesn't have to include the DLL in the package. So otherwise it would deploy an empty DLL, and that's not really clean, so I just select false here. And now I can basically deploy the solution to my predefined site URL, which is www.contoso.com. So this packages the WSP solution file and basically deploys that and activates that to my site. So it's done. So let me check if it's everything is okay. So let's go to the root site. Let's go to site settings. We have solutions here. It was a sandbox solution, so I have this page layout demo conference sandbox solution here. I have, oh, I did one thing wrong. I think I didn't scope my feature well. So you can, so here you can define what the scope of your feature is. It says now web. So I make it site, redeploy it, so that it's scoped at site collection level. Okay, so I go to the features of this site collection. Which is here. Now I have my page layout demo conference feature one activated here. So by deploying that, Visual Studio automatically activates my feature as well. So now I would so now I go to my press release section, and here I can check whatever the page layout is in the available page layouts for this site. So to tweak a little bit with the UI, but it should be available here. So here's my demo article page. I can add that as available page layout for my site. Press OK. So now I can go to could go to the pages library, and it should be creating a new page. No, I don't want this. I want to library documents. I want to create a page based on the article content type. And now here's my page layout available. So I create a new page. And if I go to the page and I say edit, I said, I should expect my fields here. But okay. So normally I should expect my title and my rich text control, and I actually don't know why that doesn't show up right now. So with that, we have seen the more structured approach for web content management scenarios, for where you have a public-facing website, where you want to have a more structured approach, where you can say that authors can only edit specific fields in the way you want, with a specific markup you want. And you have the more unstructured enterprise wiki scenario, in which you can basically give the community the ability to add their own content. It's more lightweight, it's more flexible as well. So you saw that you can insert things like web parts inside the rich field control as well. And I want to talk about the content query web part, which can make a bridge between the more structured and the more unstructured approach. And the content query web part is basically optimized for aggregating data which resides inside your site. So the query content is based on either a content type or a specific list. And it basically retrieves that content and parses that content to an XSLT template. One of the missing functionality in 2007 was that the content query web part that you wasn't able to basically filter on a value of the page itself, or that you wasn't able to filter based on a query string parameter. So what people did is they basically subclassed the content query web part and added that functionality to that. The good news is now that in 2010 we have this functionality out of the box, and it's called content-to-content targeting, where you can pass basically two tokens. And the first token is the page field value, which basically gets a value from the field, and you can use that value as a parameter in your query. And that can be either just a regular metadata field, but it can also be a value from the taxonomy. So you can say, give me all the items that are based on digital cameras or based on audio. So it travels the tree, basically, of your hierarchy. And the second option is to pass a query string parameter. So it gets the query string parameter from the HTTP URL and passes that into your query as well. And finally, we have this thing called slots. So one of the problems is when you used your own fields, you had to export your content query web part at these fields to the to a specific section in your exported web part, and then import it again. What you now can do is basically use slots, and which basically creates a mapping between the XSLT selected item value and the field value. So you can basically create a mapping for that. So, and this is how it works. So in your XSLT, you basically have an XSL value of select of a specific parameter. And in 2007, this was the value of your field column. And now in 2010, you can just add your parameter here. So we call it, for instance, title slot. And in the content query web part, in the property pane, you can basically map your field field name to that slot. So for instance, we map title slot to the speaker name, but because it's just a mapping, you can also map basically the product name to the title slot. So this great, this by mapping these fields, you basically can reuse your item template in an easy way and not have to copy every time your item templates and just use different field names there. So let me show you how this works. So we go back to my product. And this time I go to the M300 page field. And here we have already a configured related wikis content query web part, but the product datasheet information isn't showed yet. So I have a specific library at the root side, which has all product information stored in a PDF document, which is the product datasheet library. It has a metadata field as well, which is coupled to the product information. So when I go to products, products and cameras, and my M300, I want to configure this content query web part in a way that it shows all my product data sheet information. Okay. So I added this web part. And you have two sections here. You have the query, where you define basically the query, and you have the presentation, where you make the mapping between the slot and the field. So I start with query. I want to show items of a specific library. So that was my product data sheet library. And it's of a specific content type. So it's in the custom types category. And it is the product data sheet for the guys in the back. So then I want to define my query. And I want to create a query based on the product, which is equal to the product of this, of the product information of my page. So I can say select a custom value, and here I can pass in this tokens. So I can either use the query string token or the page field token. So if I say page field value of product, press apply. And notice that the product data sheet automatically rolls up all the product sheets based on my product information, which is coming from my page. I want to show a preview image, so I want to show the PDF icon here as well. So I can use the presentation area for that. And here is where you create a mapping between the fields and the item template. So this is, these are my slots. They're called link and image and title and description. So I have a field which is called rollup image, which I now can map to the image field of the XSLT template. Choose apply. Check if there are no errors. There are no errors. And notice that there is a rollup image here as well. Press OK. And this is my image. So I added this, configured this web part now on a single page, but I could also configure this web part in my page layout, which makes this web part configured for all pages based on this page layout. So with the content query web part, we can do content to content targeting. Based on taxonomies as well. We can have this data view mapping where we can use slots and fields, things like that. There is some work about doing indexing on large lists, so this makes the content query web part even faster than the previous version. And we can use managed metadata as order in order to select fields and to use them in my query as well. So for the branding options, there are basically four categories now. You can use the out-of-the-box way of branding. So there are predefined themes there to use. You can either use a custom theme in combination of your old, of your own master page, which gives basically even a more branded look and feel. Or you can go all the way and create your own highly designed master page. Good thing to know if you just want, you know, just the same colors and a little logo, you can create your own theme in PowerPoint now. So if you have a template in PowerPoint, you can use that style and apply and basically import that in SharePoint. So you have a little bit of branding already. So on controlled publishing, we can use variations, things like content deployment, workflow, web analytics, and social features. And let's start with variations. With the introduction of SharePoint 2007, there was this concept of variations where we basically could create multiple sites based on a default site. So it was an easy way to create sites for multiple languages. So for instance, for English and French, and have a default language selected for that. There were some problems with that, so the reliability there was an issue when it shipped in 2007. Most of the problems were related to the fact that if you have a large hierarchy, all these changes have to be rolled out to all the variation sites. So this was part of the ASP.NET Worker process, and all users were hitting the pace on that same ASP.NET Worker process. So this was pretty CPU intensive. So what they did, they changed that process to a timer service. So it's much more reliable now. So you have things like pause and resume. So if you are halfway through, you can pause, and you basically can continue afterwards. You can see if it is at 5% or 10%, things like that. So how far is the variation progress? There have been some UI improvements. So you have a button right now, so you can see what the changes is, what is changed in the source site. So if you have the default variation, you say publish, it's automatically copied to the variation sites. So if you are in the variation site, you have this button say, show me what's changed at the source site. So you can either decide what to take over of that. And they have some multi-language interface right now. And with the MUI, you basically can apply a default language the way you want. So if you use multi-language in 2007, the variation site could be either Dutch or French. That site, all the site action menus and all resource strings were translated as well. So what you now can do is you can define your default language for that. So if I am in English, I go to the French variation, the French variations, but I still can use the English side actions menus and things like that. That's not only available in variations, but it's also available in central admin. So that's good if you have a large organization with a department in France and in America. So you can have a central admin basically in the language that you want. If you want to know more about that, there was a session about multilingual yesterday by Spencer Harbour. So check the recorded session if you want to know more about that. Then we have this concept of content deployment, where we basically can ship our content to a destination server. There were some reliability problems with that as well. Most of them were related to scenarios where you had a lot of content, and you basically ship that to the destination server. Well, you still had a lot of editing on the background, so there were some concurrency problems there. Good news is now that in SharePoint 2010, you can make use of the concept of snapshots. So if you are familiar with SQL Server database snapshots, it basically collects the changes since the previous snapshot. So by collecting the changes at the database level, I expect that most of the concurrency problems are will go away with that. Yeah, that's all about that. So if we talk about controlled publishing, we can think about workflows. And we had workflows in SharePoint Designer 2007. But one of the problems of workflow in SharePoint 2007 that is that you couldn't reapply the same workflow you created on a different list. So you had to recreate the same workflow for every page library or document library. So good news is now that you basically can create your workflow and reapply that to a different document library or pages library as well. New is also that they added functionality for creating workflows in Visio diagrams. So business users can now basically create their workflow in Visio and import that in SharePoint Designer, so to make it available in SharePoint as well. So there are multiple options right now. You can use the out-of-the-box workflow. You can either use SharePoint Designer, use Visio Studio, use Visio diagrams, or if you are a hardcore developer, you can also use Visio Studio 2010 if you want. So if you publish your website, you probably want to know what's going on your website as well. So who is hitting your server? What kind of browsers do you use? What kind of languages do they use? What is my slowest page? What's my fastest page? Which pages are most hit? Things like that. They improved some analytics for that. So it's not a huge analytic pack. Just don't expect the route people take in your site. So they go from the home page and then to the product page and then to the catalog page. but it does show you some insight about the performance and the traffic to your site. There is some health monitoring there as well. So you can see what's the slowest space, and if you go to the slowest space, you have this new thing like the developer dashboard, where you basically can see at the page level which queries went to the SQL Server and how long they take. So you can basically find your page which has maybe 10 Conda query web parts or some horrible custom code. There have been some platform announcements as well. So because WCM is part of the SharePoint stack, it takes advantage of that. And what they did is basically they added host header site collection support. So in the previous version, we had to extend our web application basically. And by extending the web application, we could make it, we could add a host header to make it available for the public. Now it's scoped at the site collection level. So you can basically add host headers at site collection. So this is good for scenarios where you have a lot of public-facing sites. So normally for every web application, you get an ASP.NET Worker process. So there is streaming in the blob cache. So if you want to use video streaming, basically this video file is sent to the web front end. And if you enable blob cache, this video file is basically stored on disk at the web front end. And it's able to stream that video straight to the client. So if you, as an end user, hit the second time the video, it's not served anymore from the database. It's streamed straight from the web front end server. They have some improvements about library scale. So we have this content organizer thing where we basically can create rules. And based on these rules, the content is divided into separate folders there. And yeah, I think we see some user solutions and the multi-language as well. So with that, SharePoint 2010, sites can have different governance rules. So think about the structured and unstructured approaches. So for branded scenarios, you probably want a very formal, very structured, very highly governed approach. But for community content, you probably want a more unstructured approach. And keep in mind that none of those features are exclusive to each other, so you can mix them the way you want. So yes, you can use just the publishing infrastructure and make it some kind of wiki scenario. So things like wiki linking is available just the way you want, but it's whatever you decide to make it available. View controls can provide control over branding. So if you want this highly structured, highly polished website, you use field controls for that. And Enterprise Wiki is the more lightweight publishing. We have seen the improvements of the content by query web part, or content query web part, where we have slots and field mappings, and where we have content targeting as well. There is some support for video as well, and if you want to know that, come to my session at 1:30. And we saw the field controls and web parts and things you can do with that. And finally, it's good to know that WCM takes advantage of the platform enhancements. And one of those is like support for streaming video, things like bitrate throttling, large list, and things like that. So thank you with that. This is the end of my session. And if you have any questions, come up front and I will answer them. Thank you.